Welcome to Zikud Daf Siman Rabbi Avraham Goldar and today Maseches Bava Basra Daf Chaf, the second parakol Yachpor. So the three topics we're going to focus on: number one, a braisa list numerous items which reduce an opening regarding tumah of a maze spreading into the next room. The Gemara explains why each item will not be moved and therefore qualifies to reduce the opening size. Among the cases is an idolater who's not susceptible to tumah sitting in the opening and he cannot walk away because the case is where he's tied up. The Gemara said his friend will untie him and concludes that he is b'chuvushe malchus, a prisoner of the government, so no one will untie him. The Braisa says that a ben shmona, a baby born of an 8-month pregnancy, lying in an opening would reduce its size. Since it's not viable, it's not considered a person with regard to tumah. The Gemara says that its mother will come and carry it away and answers that the Braisa's case is on Shabbos, and a Braisa teaches, Haruka Evan Vasu Atatu B'Shabbos, he's like a stone meaning mukse and forbidden to move on Shabbos. Tosos adds that the baby will die on Shabbos and be buried there and will never be moved. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, well, Yamid Adam Tanu B'Tocha Bayis, a person may not set up an oven in a house, El Im Ken Yesh Al Gabav Gova Arba Amos, unless there are 4 amos of airspace above it, so it doesn't set the ceiling on fire and spread to other houses. If it is in an upper story, 3 tefachim of plaster must be underneath to prevent the floor from catching fire. Regarding Akira, a stove, only 1 tefach of plaster is required. Vimhizik Mishal Moshe Hizik. If it damaged someone's property, after keeping to these requirements, he must pay for the damage. Rabbi Shimon argues, they only said these measurements so that if he damaged, he's pater from paying. The Gemara said another braisa requires 4 tefachim beneath an oven and 3 beneath a stove. Abai answers that the braisa refers to the ovens and stoves of bakers, which require thicker floors because they are constantly lit. Our standard oven is equal to a baker's stove, and both require 3 tefachim underneath. And point number 3, the next Mishnah states that if a resident of a chatzar opens a store in the chatzar, another resident can protest. I cannot sleep because of the noise of your customers entering and leaving the chatzar. However, one may manufacture utensils in the chatzar and go out and sell them in the marketplace, and another cannot protest and say, "Eini yachol lishon, I can't sleep." Will we call patish because of the noise of the hammer? Will we call rechaim or because of the noise of the mill? Will we call tinokos or because of the noise of the children? The Gemara asks why in the first case a resident may protest against outside customers entering and leaving the chatzar, but in the final case cannot protest the noise of children, which presumably means children purchasing his goods. Abai explains that the last case refers to residents protesting customers entering another chatzar. But Rav objects that the Mishnah cannot refer to another chatzar. Instead, Rav explains the Mishnah refers to tinokos shel beis rabban, school children, that one cannot protest outside children entering his chatzar to learn Torah because of a rabbinic decree discussed on the next daf. So once again, the 3 points are: number one, a braisa lists numerous items which reduce an opening regarding tumah of a mace spreading into the next room. The Gemara explains why each item will not be moved and therefore qualifies to reduce the opening size. Among the cases is an idolater who's not susceptible to tumah sitting in the opening and he cannot walk away because the case is where he's tied up. The Gemara said his friend will untie him and concludes that he is b'chuvushe malchus, a prisoner of the government, so no one will untie him. The Braisa says that a ben shmona, a baby born of an 8-month pregnancy, lying in an opening would reduce its size. Since it's not viable, it's not considered a person with regard to tumah. The Gemara says that its mother will come and carry it away and answers that the Braisa's case is on Shabbos, and a Braisa teaches, Haruka Evan Vasu Atatu B'Shabbos, he's like a stone meaning mukse and forbidden to move on Shabbos. Tosos adds that the baby will die on Shabbos and be buried there and will never be moved. Point number 2, the next Mishnah states, well, Yamid Adam Tanu B'Tocha Bayis, a person may not set up an oven in a house, El Im Ken Yesh Al Gabav Gova Arba Amos, unless there are 4 amos of airspace above it, so it doesn't set the ceiling on fire and spread to other houses. If it is in an upper story, 3 tefachim of plaster must be underneath to prevent the floor from catching fire. Regarding Akira, a stove, only 1 tefach of plaster is required. Vimhizik Mishal Moshe Hizik. If it damaged someone's property, after keeping to these requirements, he must pay for the damage. Rabbi Shimon argues, they only said these measurements so that if he damaged, he's pater from paying. The Gemara said another braisa requires 4 tefachim beneath an oven and 3 beneath a stove. Abai answers that the braisa refers to the ovens and stoves of bakers, which require thicker floors because they are constantly lit. Our standard oven is equal to a baker's stove, and both require 3 tefachim underneath. And point number 3, the next Mishnah states that if a resident of a chatzar opens a store in the chatzar, another resident can protest. I cannot sleep because of the noise of your customers entering and leaving the chatzar. However, one may manufacture utensils in the chatzar and go out and sell them in the marketplace, and another cannot protest and say, "Ein yachol lishon, I can't sleep. Lo mikol patish, because of the noise of the hammer, lo mikol rechaim, or because of the noise of the mill, lo mikol tinokos, or because of the noise of the children." The Gemara asks, why in the first case a resident may protest against outside customers entering and leaving the chatzar, but in the final case cannot protest the noise of children, which presumably means children purchasing his goods? Abai explains that the last case refers to residents protesting customers entering another chatzar. But Rav objects that the Mishnah cannot refer to another chatzar. Instead, Rav explains the Mishnah refers to tinokos shel beis rabban, school children, that one cannot protest outside children entering his chatzar to learn Torah because of a rabbinic decree discussed on the next daf. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Chaf, and our standard Siman is a cafe. A cafe, so here goes. The cafe with a wanted goy tied up, sitting in the window, blocking the tumas mace from spreading to the room next door, which had a pastry oven with four amos of venting room above it to protect the floor above, was being picketed by members of the chatzar who claimed they can't sleep from all the noise from customers coming in to get their morning coffee. Once again, slow motion. The cafe, that must be more on Daf Chaf. The cafe with a wanted goy tied up and sitting in the window, blocking the tumas mace from spreading to the room next door, which reminds us of Brisa lists numerous items which reduce an opening regarding tumah of a mace spreading into the next room. The Gemara explains why each item will not be moved and therefore qualifies to reduce the opening size. Among the cases is an idolater who is not susceptible to tumah, sitting in the opening, and he cannot walk away because the case is where he's tied up. The Gemara asks that his friend will untie him and concludes that he's b'chavushe malchus, a prisoner of the government, so that no one will untie him. So the cafe with a wanted goy tied up and sitting in the window blocking the tumas mace from spreading to the room next door, which had a pastry oven with four amos of venting room above it to protect the floor above, which reminds us, the next mission states, well, yamin adam taner betoch habayis, so a person may not set up an oven in a house, elim ken yesh al gabav gova arba amos, unless there are dalet amos of airspace above it so it doesn't set the ceiling on fire and spread to other houses. If it's in an upper story, three tefachim of plaster must be underneath to prevent the floor from catching fire. So the cafe with a wanted goy tied up and sitting in the window, blocking the tumas mace from spreading to the room next door, which had a pastry oven with four amos of venting room above it to protect the floor above, was being picketed by members of the chatzar who claimed they can't sleep from all the noise from customers coming in to get their morning coffee. Which reminds us, the next mishnah states that if a resident of a chatzar opens a store in the chatzar, another resident can protest, "Ini yachorisho mikol nichnasi mikol yotzin, I cannot sleep because of the noise of your customers entering and leaving the chatzar." However, one may manufacture utensils in the chatzar and go out and sell them in the marketplace, and another cannot protest and say, "Ini yachorisho, I can't sleep, or mikol patish, because of the noise of the hammer, because of the noise of the mill, or because of the noise of the children." So once again, the cafe with a wanted goy tied up and sitting in the window, blocking the tumas mace from spreading to the room next door, which had a pastry oven with four amos of venting room above it to protect the floor above, was being picketed by members of the chatzar who claimed they can't sleep from all the noise from customers coming in to get their morning coffee. All right, so now it's time for four Blah Bach Chazorah. Daf Tez Zayin. So the Simmer Daf Tez Zayin is toes, and we use an acrobat with large toes. So here goes. The acrobat with large toes, that must mean we're on Daf Tez Zayin. The acrobat with large toes at the L'shem Shemaim circus, dressed as the Satan, which reminds us, continuing the discussion of the Satan's actions in the story of Iov, Rish Lakish says, "Hu Satan hu Yetzahara hu Malchum Aves. He is a prosecutor, he's the evil incarnation, he's the angel of death," which he derives from Sukkim in Iov. Rabbi Levi said, "Satan Penina L'shem Shemaim Niskavnu, the intentions of Satan and Penina were for the sake of heaven. When the Satan saw that Kosh Baruch Hu favored Iov, the Satan said, 'God forbid that he'll forget the love of Avram,' and so he asked to test Iov's loyalty." So the acrobat with large toes at the L'shem Shemaim circus, dressed as a Satan, entertained the Bakol family of girls sitting in the stands, which reminds us the pasuk describes the birth of daughters with larov to propagate. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Rivia Ba'olam, propagation came to the world with the birth of daughters." Rish Lakish says, "Meriva Ba'olam, conflict came to the world." Abraisa discusses the pasuk, "Vashem Beirach is Avram Bakol, and Hashem bless Avram with everything." Rabbi Meir explains, "Shalhaisa Lobas, that he did not have a daughter." Rabbi Yehuda says, "Shalhaisa Lobas, that he did have a daughter." Others say, "Bas Haisul Avram Ubakol Shema." Avram had a daughter, her name was Bakol. Other pshatim are brought. So the acrobat with large toes at the L'shem Shemaim circus, dressed as the Satan, entertained the Bakol family of girls sitting in the stands, who didn't realize that right behind them one Russia was doing one of the five averos, while another Russia was doing teshuva. Which reminds us, another pshat is given of Avram's being blessed with Bakol, everything. Shalom marid Esav b'yamav, that Esav did not rebel in his lifetime. The pasuk hinting to Esav's rebellion is written in the incident of Yaakov preparing a stew of lentils, which was to comfort Yitzhak, whose father Avram had passed away that day. Rabbi Yochanan said, Chamesh averos Avra oso rasha b'oso yom. That rasha, Esav committed five sins on that day of Avram's passing. Another pshat, Shasi Yishmael tshuva b'yamav, that Yishmael repented in Avram's lifetime. Daf Yud Zayin. So the Simon Daf Yud Zayin is a used car salesman. So here goes. The owner of Nachash used cars who never sinned, not even telling a lie, which reminds us, in a brisa was taught, Shishu Shal Ben Malchamavis. For six people, the Malchamavis had no power over them, and they died by Kosh Baruch Hu's hand. Avram Yitzchak Yaakov Moshe Aaron and Miriam. Another brisa states, Arba Mesu Be'etio Shal Nachash. Four people died because of the serpent's advice to Adam to eat from the Esa Das, which condemned mankind to die. Otherwise, these four would not have died because they were without sin. Yaakov's son Binyamin, Moshe's father Amram, David's father Yishai, and David's son Hilav. So the owner of Nachash used cars, who never sinned, not even telling a lie, separate the pit he dug at the edge of his lot to store spare tires, three tefachim from the wall of his neighbor's pit, which reminds us, the second parak begins, Ul Yachbor Adam Bor Samach Bor Shel Chavero. One cannot dig a pit in his own property near his neighbor's pit, nor may he dig other types of ditches or holes, Elim ken hirchik mekosel chaver shoshet tefachim, unless he distances it three tefachim from his neighbor's wall, besad besid, and lines the pit with lime. So the owner of Nachash used cars who never sinned, not even telling a lie, separated the pit he dug at the edge of his lot to store spare tires, three tefachim from the wall of his neighbor's pit, and did the same for his other neighbor's lot, even though there was no pit there, just in case there might be one in the future, which reminds us, it was stated, regarding one who wants to dig a pit near the boundary of his neighbor's property, before his neighbor's property has a pit. Abai says, Somach, he may dig it near the boundary without any distancing, but Rava says he cannot. Two versions of the smokokas are given. They are either arguing regarding a field in which pits are not usually dug, or they're arguing regarding a field where pits are normally dug. Daf Yud Ches. So the Simmer Daf Yud Ches is a chuppah because Ben Yud Ches or chuppah, someone who's 18, should go to chuppah. So here goes. When the chuppah, that must be more in Daf Yud Ches, Ben Yud Ches or chuppah. When the chuppah being held in the storeroom was disturbed by the smoke from the bakery, illegally placed downstairs, which reminds us, the Gemara poses numerous challenges to Rav, who prohibits digging a pit near a neighbor's boundary, even if his neighbor does not have a pit, such as the Mishnah, which prohibits opening a bakery under someone's existing storeroom. So when the chuppah being held in the storeroom was disturbed by the smoke from the bakery illegally placed downstairs, and the mustard for the wedding suit was eaten by bees owned by a man who just bought a piece of land for his beehive, which reminds us, Rav is challenged from another Mishnah, teaching that one must distance a pool of soaking flax from his neighbor's vegetables, leeks from his neighbor's onions, and vesachar and mustard plants from his neighbor's bees. When bees eat the mustard plants, it sharpens their mouths, causing them to consume the honey in their hives. Rav Yossi permits placing mustard plants near one's border because he can tell the bee's owner, before you tell me, distance your mustard plants from my bees, distance your bees from my mustard plants because they come and eat my mustard blossoms. Since your mustard is as harmful to my property as my mustard plants are to yours, I'm not required to distance my mustard plants. So when the chuppah being held in the storeroom was disturbed by the smoke from the bakery, illegally placed downstairs, and the mustard for the wedding suit was eaten by bees owned by a man who just bought a piece of land for his beehive, the Rabbanan hold a hamazigal harkik at satsmo. It's incumbent upon the owner of the hazard to distance the hazard from the victim, even where the mazik was originally placed legally, while the whole property was his. Daf Yotes. So the simmer Daf Yotes is a yacht. So here goes. The captain of the yacht, that must be on Daf Yotes. The captain of the yacht carrying away a pile of flintstones on deck so that their heat wouldn't damage his neighbor's wall, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph listed slime, flintstones, among materials which must be distanced from a neighbor's wall because the heat they generate damages it. The Gemara explains that a Mishnah in Shabbos regarding wrapping foods does not mention stones because they break the pot and are never used for wrapping. So the captain of the yacht carrying away a pile of flintstones on deck so that their heat wouldn't damage his neighbor's wall forgot to tell his son not to plant seeds too close to the wall since their roots would eventually soften the soil, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that seeds must be distanced three tefachim from a neighbor's wall. Although one would normally have to distance his planting from his neighbor's wall anyway, both because of plowing and because of the constant watering, the Mishnah's ruling is necessary for one planting mamapolis yad by tossing of the hand without furrows in Eretz Yisrael, which relies on rainwater. So the captain of the yacht carrying away a pile of flintstones on deck so that their heat wouldn't damage his neighbor's wall forgot to tell his son not to plant seeds too close to the wall since their roots would eventually soften the soil. As he was distracted eating a wafer kneaded with fruit juice that he found in a tefach by tefach opening between two cabins where a mace was lying in one, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses items left in an opening, which is a tefach by tefach, between two rooms under one roof. If the item would halakhically reduce the size of the opening, tumah of a mace in one room would not spread to the second room. Shmuel said, rakig in a mamayit b'chalon, a wafer left in an opening does not reduce the size of the opening since it's likely to be removed to be eaten. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which deftu in the Satan acted L'shem Shemaim in testing Eov's loyalty so that the Kodesh Baruch Hu should not forget Avram Avinu? That's on Dav. Tezayin. Good. Number two, which deftu we discuss safety requirements for ovens in houses? That's on Dav. Chaf. Good. Number three, which deftu about six people that the Malach Mavis had no power over? That's on Dav. Yud Zayin. Good. Number four, which stuff do we learn why stones and sand are each missing from a different list of items which generate heat? That's on Daf. Yud Tes. Good. Number five, which stuff do we learn according to Rabbi Yehuda, the arm's dimensions were 12.5 by 7.5 tefachim, and the Sefer Torah was stored outside? That's on Daf. Yud Dalet. Good. Number six, which stuff do we learn food left in an opening does not reduce its size regarding Tumah? That's on Daf. Yud Tes. Good. Number seven, which stuff do you discuss the right to protest commercial activities in a chatzer? That's on Dav. Chaf. Good. Number eight, which stuff do you learn one should not dig a pit on his property close to his neighbor's pit? That's on Dav. Yud Zayin. Good. Number nine, which stuff do you learn why an idolater in an opening reduces the size of a tumah? That's on Dav. Chaf. Good. Number 10. Which stuff do you discuss the case of a storeroom that is being damaged by smoke from a bakery that was illegally placed downstairs? That's on Daf. Yud Ches. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avram Goldar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.